Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Art Kaplan joins us now, director of the Medical Ethics Program at NYU Langone Medical Center. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. I was just about to go over to my fridge here to make sure we didn't kill anybody.
Do you clean it out often or not? Because you're a learned man. You do.
I probably am in there once a month. Everything goes that hasn't been eaten, I would say.
It's amazing how much space you got in there once you get rid of all the garbage. Tell me about vaping. It seems to me like we are on the cusp, and we do a lot of this here. And I said earlier, Doctor, are we campaigning or are we advocating? You bet you are, because I don't see where this is going to do society any good at all at any time.
No, I don't either. I think vaping is not well studied. We don't really know what people are vaping. Some people are actually smoking cannabis oils, you know, ingesting things that really can't be good for your lungs. There's a lot of renegade and screwball stuff being sold out there by black marketers. I'm not sure what vaping does in terms of nicotine addiction to young folks. I know the vaping companies want us to believe that they're all interested in smoking reduction, and I think that's nonsense.
I know we refuse to carry the advertising. We did at one point, but then they made a corporate decision not to, which made me proud of the company because, again, you got to be responsible, right? I see a quote here from an 18-year-old, went to high school, says, anything you inhale is not healthy, but I know about 1,000 people who vape. Is there anything outside of medication administered by a respiratory therapist that you can inhale that is healthy for you?
Just air. You know, lungs are really built to process oxygen out of the atmosphere. That's what they do. Taking in stuff like nicotine, you can fool the lungs into doing it, and they will, but they're not built to process that. And then you've got, as I said, all kinds of other flavors, additives, oils being thrown in there. That's a little bit like inhaling, you know, your smoke from the barbecue or something. Mm-hmm. You can do it, but it's not good for you.
Somebody I share an office with, God bless her, she has these aromatics that they put in the air, you know what I'm talking about? And I think she does it sometimes just to get rid of me because I cannot
I
sit
them
in.
Too, by the way.
Huh?
I hate them.
I cannot sit in there and breathe that. I can't believe that's doing you any good either, is it?
Again, none of this stuff, you know, it's over the counter. It's not sold as a drug, so nobody tests or checks. If you had one of these things that you plug into the wall and it pumps out scent, it really is not subjected to careful testing. The benefit of having a pleasant aroma versus the unknown, well, I wouldn't be doing it a lot, maybe for a couple days at a holiday or something like that, but every day, boy, it makes me nervous. Plus, we know there are certain folks who are just allergic to some of those scents and things. So when they come in your house, you're driving them nuts. But let me just jump back to the vaping thing for one second. Yeah. Again, the companies keep saying all they're trying to do is get people to stop smoking cigarettes. And we know cigarettes are horrible for you, and we know they kill a lot more people than vaping. But all the ads and all this flavor stuff, it's targeted to kids. So I think there's a little hypocrisy there. I don't buy this. We're just trying to run a business that helps people get off of smoking cigarettes. It may have helped some people. I'm not saying no one ever was able to switch from cigarettes to these things. And they're a little better than cigarettes. They have less stuff in them. But boy, they're addicting kids left, right, and center. Like your high school kid said, he knows 1,000 kids that are using them.
Let me take a break here. We'll pick it up here when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Art Kaplan, director of the Medical Ethics Program at NYU Langone Medical Center. If you have any questions or comments, you can call us at 260-1870. You can text them to 87870, and I'll pass them along. We're going to go back when we return and kind of look back at the history of vaping. When did all of this start? And in terms of it being a useful method to quit smoking. I believe Big Tobacco has ties with some of these vaping companies, and you would think that the last thing in the world they'd want to do is to quit, get these people to quit smoking, but unless they want to get them hooked on vaping, which is another thing. And we'll also talk about the addictive nature of this. 9:15, back in a flash, Tommy Tucker talking vaping on WWL. You know, if you look up the history of vaping, I think the first patent was issued in the United States in 1927. The Chinese have been doing it for a long time. It recently, or really became in vogue, if you want to use that phrase, in 2008. Dr. Art Kaplan's our guest, director of the medical ethics program at NYU Langone Medical Center. So, doctor, when it comes to the question that somebody texted in that people have been vaping for a long, long time, why all of a sudden is there an uptick in related diseases or deaths? Is this because it's becoming more and more popular, and as more people do it, it becomes more dangerous, et cetera?
Yeah, it is. There has been vaping around, as you said, Tommy, I think 200 years, but the modern electronic vaping cigarette, I think, came out of China in about 2004 or 5. Didn't get much uptake, and then companies in Europe began to get behind the marketing of it, sort of 2008 to 2012, and then it rolled in here, and with big advertising pushes. So I think we're seeing a couple of phenomena. Many more young people using, kind of being told that it's okay to do it, even though, you know, getting addicted to nicotine is not a good thing. And then weird ingredients coming in, flavors and stuff that could be the cause of problems. I suspect it's a combination of many more people vaping. Some, like, what, 1 in 4 teenagers has tried it. I think 6% of teenagers say they vape every day regularly. That's much more heavy use than we ever saw, in the past.
Is this the kind of thing where, you know, I'm one of these guys that tried to smoke a cigarette once and that was enough, where you have to, because you do have to physically teach yourself to smoke, or at least get your lungs to accept this, do you not?
You do, although, to tell you the truth, I've never vaped, so I shouldn't even comment on that, really, but what I hear.
You're reading ahead, yeah. And that's what I was going to ask you. Is this the kind of thing where You do it, and it's relatively, I hate to use the word painless, but I mean where there's no adaptation and you do it immediately and it's just like breathing?
I think the vaping is a little easier to get used to than the tobacco, because the tobacco has all kinds of side ingredients that you don't need, the tars and so forth, and they're harder for the lungs to take, and they're kind of more noxious. I think the purer nicotine with the flavor goes down easier. That's what I hear.
One thing I missed in terms of predictions, branding, this has nothing to do with science, but I didn't think these things were going to take off, because I didn't think it had the, and I gotta watch what I'm saying here, the cachet of cigarette smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's changed, obviously, the cachet of that, if you will, from, you know, back in the 40s and the 50s, and they were placing these things in movies and so forth, where if you look at one of these old movies, I think even the dogs are smoking sometimes. But yeah. I didn't think the electronic cigarette was going to do it, but somehow I guess they have made it through advertising something that people want to do to be cool, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah, the advertising absolutely has been slick. I think a good deal of it has been youth-oriented, that it's a cool thing to do. They've got influencers and so on backing it up. And I think you mentioned this, Tommy. Every one of the big vaping companies now has got a major interest in it, or controlling interest in it, from a tobacco company. I know Philip Morris Altria is a big owner, big investor in Juul. R.J. Reynolds has ownership over the second biggest vaping company. They've got a major financial stake in there. So they're putting their advertising clout in there, too.
So in terms of if I want to start vaping and I want to go get from a, if there is such a thing as a reputable vaping store or what have you, and a reputable company, I want to vape something that tastes like strawberry. And I don't know if any of this is possible or not. Is that in and of itself dangerous to me, or is it when you get to additives when you get to nicotine or maybe questionable sources from which this stuff was obtained. Is that when it gets dangerous, or do we know yet?
We don't know yet. There's one whistleblower, I think from Juul, maybe wrong, but I think I'm right, who has said that they knowingly kept some ingredients in there that they knew were dangerous but didn't do anything about it. That's just an allegation, not proven. But I think that's going to go to trial, or at least the FDA will be taking a long, hard look there. So we're going to find out. But right now, I think the argument is, let's worry about what the kids are doing. That's where the bulk of the sale goes. That's where you're getting really new people brought in, and not just in the U.S., by the way, overseas in big numbers, too. I'm a little less worried about the adults. Some of them are cigarette smokers anyway, so they may be transitioning or they may be trying to substitute. But I'm really worried about the kids. That's the place where I think the flavors have to go out, and I think we got to basically start to say this no targeting of young people, and we got to make it uncool. Hollywood has something to do here, too.
Because I've not seen anybody vaping in a Hollywood movie or TV show. Have you, or have I missed it?
I have, but really rarely. You know what I mean? Maybe 1 in 100 movies or something like that. And I think that's good, and I think Hollywood helped make cigarette smoking uncool. Mad Men, the TV show, may have returned it to somewhat cool status, but in general, I think the media can help here and sort of say, you know, too dangerous. By the way, we didn't say it, but there have been, I don't know, 40-something deaths and then maybe 2,000 ICU hospitalizations, some of which are followed by lung transplants. And I know people are saying, well, that's nothing next to what cigarettes do. But these are like, almost instantaneous, rapid, terrible health side effects. Cigarettes, you got to go 30, 40 years, and then they start taking you out due to cancer and so forth and heart disease. So whatever's going on with the vaping, there's something in there that's really nasty.
So somebody texted in, doctor, and said, didn't the CDC say that all vaping deaths are related to the recent CBD introduction?
They've certainly pointed a finger in that way. That's what I was trying to say when I said people were basically heating up oils. Mm-hmm. That's what vaping partly is, and then putting them in their lungs, and we don't know what is in those oils or what that does to your lungs. It's like coating your lungs with something not good. Is everything due to that? We don't know.
So are we on the cusp right now of when cigarette smoking, you mentioned Ad Men, I binge watched that one day, Doc, and I had to open the windows. That's how bad it was, just from binge watching it. When it comes to vaping and secondhand vape or what have you, is there any evidence, scientific data that that's not a good thing to expose yourself to or anybody else to?
We do not. This phenomenon is so new that we've got almost no studies on firsthand exposures in terms of what's in there, how often people do it, what's the pattern or behavior that led them to have lung failure or die. We still are fishing around there. Secondhand vaping smoke, I haven't seen, I'm not saying there's none out there, but I haven't seen a single study yet. My hunch is, as with secondhand smoke from anything, cigars, cigarettes, it's not good for you. If there's a problem with the first-hand smoker, there's going to be a problem in the second-hand smoker. But I feel a little bit like we're kind of puttering around in a cave. We don't really know what we're looking at yet.
Is there anything to be said? Because I'm getting texts from people here that say, let me read one. I'm 37 and quit smoking from vaping. I enjoy flavors, stop the sale of kids, and stop the counterfeit cartridges. But vaping has made my life much more healthy.
I hear that, and I'm certain that some people, I know a few who've reduced cigarette smoking or eliminated it for vaping, and you could turn it into almost a prescription product like we do with patches and stuff like that, you know. And I think if you're going to really take this seriously, you want to have not just vaping but anti-smoking counseling. You want to have efforts to really get you to stop completely. But I think, Tommy, you and I both know, I doubt that's the business plan for the vaping industry.
But what confused me is if we don't know what the end result of vaping is, because I guess it hasn't really been going on long enough that we can study. Is
exactly,
that right?
Exactly.
So how can we say then that it's better than smoking for you?
Well, we know the basic ingredients in legit vaping products, nicotine, without oils mixed in, without weird flavors, without other ingredients, or without some of these counterfeit things. They definitely, the list of ingredients looks better, and that's what people are going on. Now, is that really true? If you took massive nicotine doses, are you going to cause your heart to fail in the longer run? Not sure about that, but basically it's reading the ingredient list at this point.
Anything we missed you wanted to add in, Doc?
I think the future, as you said a couple times, Tommy, we're on the cusp here. We've got to do something about youth vaping. That's the challenge. I get adults who say it's helped them, and maybe we can carve out a space to let that continue. But we don't want to create a whole generation of nicotine addicts among our young people.
Are there any regulations now, state to state, as far as you know? I don't think there is a federal regulation on this, but in terms
The president was making noises that he was going to move in there, and then there was apparently political pushback, and things have gone quiet on the federal front. Remember, he said...
Right, oh yeah.
He was going to do something about flavored vaping and so on, and it directed CDC and FDA to pay attention, and then he backtracked. I assume that's just politics.
And it could come back. We don't know. But in terms of ages, I mean, can a child go in? Is this just up to the store owner themselves? Is that an age?
I think a lot of states are saying you can't buy any of this stuff under 16 and 18, but... The problem is it moves very quickly, black market-wise, you know, into the high schools. Those kids are getting it somehow, somewhere.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate your time, as always.
Hey, my pleasure.
You have a nice holiday season. If we don't talk to you again, Dr. Art Kaplan, Director of the Medical Ethics Program at NYU Langone Medical Center.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.